Estos son los Freedom Fiends, transmitiendo desde Podmetidosa, a un kilómetro de altura sobre el nivel del mar, en los estudios intergalácticos de la pradera. Alteramos tu locus cerúleo, calentando tu sinapsis con rejuvenecedoras ondas de radio. Esto calienta tu cerebro a unos sabrosos y tostaditos 365 grados, manteniendo la avalancha de estatismo fuera de tu cabeza. Can you feel it, Ben? Diana.
I feel it. How you doing, Hugo?
Sí.
Can you feel it in Spanish? Doing all right here. You know, it's pretty warm here because I'm not in the good old USA. But through the magic of Fiend Phone, we're together.
Yay.
Recording today.
Yay.
Hey, I need to say that Fiend Phone is covered by a BIPCOT no-gov license, which allows use by everybody, except for governments. We are entitled to shaming and some other kinds of retribution, all non-violent and peaceful. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
For the CIA wiretaps, anything we advocate which is illegal, immoral, or fattening should be interpreted to be satire, meaning its opposite.
Yeah.
Right on.
Right on.
And this is our weekend edition.
So this is Freedom Fiends.
And we do have an international...
Go ahead, Ben.
We have an international crew today. So, Hugo, you're in Mexico City, correct?
That's right. Good old warm Mexico City.
How warm is it there?
In the middle of summer.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really that warm because we're up in the mountains, but it's warm all the time. It's warm all the time, all year round, except we have a little bit of winter here, but we you wouldn't call it winter up there. But it's, I don't know. We do Celsius, so we should be probably doing 70-something. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. So like what, about 20, 25?
25, yeah. Yeah.
See, I got 25. It.
Yeah,
I date someone who's from Canada, and I've learned the Celsius system. To some degree. I mean, I can look at it, but I can't tell you. I can't translate it exactly into Fahrenheit, but I can give you an estimate.
Yeah. So can I. It's we're getting used to it, too. And, well, what topics we have today, Ben, I think we have some spicy ones.
Yeah. You know,
it was spicy.
I should probably give a little bit of a disclaimer because every time, every single time, I talk about immigration, I get people incredibly angry at me, like almost to the point of threatening type angry.
I don't even understand it. These people must not know you. I don't know how anyone could get angry at you like that. I really don't. Like, you're just a teddy bear to me.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so last time I mentioned...
Maybe I don't know you very well.
The last time I mentioned immigration on the Fiends, here on the Fiends, I got some pretty negative feedback, some angry feedback, and some over on Twitter, a little bit of hate-filled feedback. And that's okay, because what that does is that causes me to immediately say, oh, I need to talk about that more. So if you think that, you know... If you're out there listening and you're like, Ben's so wrong, I'm going to fix him. I'm going to go onto Twitter and send him a personal message and call him names and chew him out. If you think for one second that that's going to cause me to not talk about immigration or not talk about, you know, any other topic, really, then you completely are backwards and you're thinking about how to behave around me, because that's the best way to make sure that I'm going to go on the radio and talk about immigration is to go and send me a personal message. Message in Twitter or whatever and attack me. So here we go. We got Hugo on the line in Mexico City, and I'm in Alabama. And so if there's such then and Diana, you're in North Carolina, I believe. Is that right?
Yep.
So, you know, if there's anybody who should be talking about immigration, I think it's a person in Alabama and a person in North Carolina and a person in Mexico City. Maybe if we had Nima on the line out of Texas, we could even get a more rounded discussion on it, but he's not available at the moment. But
yeah, you know, you can paint those imaginary lines where you want.
Right.
And that's pretty much the same, I would say. We could draw those lines somewhere else and would be immigrating, but right now they're drawn the way they are.
Arbitrarily drawn.
Yeah, arbitrarily drawn, yes. And you're inside one tax form and now living in another different tax form.
Exactly.
But, you know, mountains and rivers don't know about that.
Right. Yeah, and the birds don't know where those are, and the squirrels don't know where those are, and sheep don't know where those are, and goats don't know where those are. So why do we?
Yes, but can sheep and goats and birds, can they own things? Can they have private property?
I don't know. My dog thinks she owns some things. She's convinced of it.
Well, you know, there's a whole question of reality, too.
Yeah, there's several items that if you pick them up, she freaks out because she knows that thing is hers. She's got a toy that's hers. Oh. Her bed is hers. If you walk over and pick up her bed, she will immediately panic. Like, you know, what are you? You're touching my thing. That's mine, you know. And she will try her best to climb up into it, even if you're holding it up, you know, at a very high level. She's convinced that you're trying to take her property. She's going to go occupy it.
Yeah, and she also has some weapons to back it up, too, if she chooses to use them.
Yeah.
If she chose to use them, yeah. So, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know, is private property determined by what kind of firepower you have to back it up?
Well, you know, I would say with some animals, it's primitive private property. I'd say dogs, for example, they rightly assume what they're holding in their mouths right now belongs to them, and nobody has a right to take it away. Mm-hmm. But when they consider it fair game, when another dog drops it,
of course.
They will launch for the bone, for the
finders
for the toy,
keepers,
whatever that is. Yeah,
you're absolutely right. And I mean, really, it is kind of a model for the state in a way because, yeah, they think they own that stuff, but in reality, we really own all that stuff.
With the state for dogs, that's so awful.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So
pay for a longer leash.
So in the course of our show today, we're probably going to sound like we're picking on a couple people, like maybe Hans Hermann Hoppe, a guy who is brilliant. I mean, he's really, really smart. He's way smarter than me. I will admit that freely. He can think on levels that I cannot think on. He is far better educated than I am. He's just a really brilliant guy, and yet he has produced a long time ago, but then he's rewritten on the topic several times, and then it keeps getting re-released by Lou Rockwell's site every now and then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's talked about immigration, and you know, I don't know. I'm confused in myself when I read Hoppe talking about immigration. It's very similar to when I hear or read Walter Block discussing voting. And I think, are you really that delusional? I know these two gentlemen are not stupid. I know both of them are very smart, very well educated.
Mm-hmm.
But when they talk about these things, I think, are you really so delusional that you believe what you're saying? Or, you know, are you just deceiving us? Are you lying in order to try to pander to a certain crowd? Or is it some kind of tactic that we're not in on that they would say these bizarre things?
Yeah, that definitely lends itself to some, you know, some dissonance, really, because we know how smart they are.
Yeah.
And then they say these things that just, and it really kind of like logically has to be one or the other. It either has to be they're deluded or they think we are.
Yeah, because they're not stupid. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. That is true. And, you know, there's been other topics in which weren't thought up by the big luminaries in liberty thinking, like Murray Rothbard, and they weren't fully discussed or fully fledged. The theory wasn't fully fledged at that time, and libertarians all over, theoreticians, they all agreed eventually. Like intellectual property was a big one, and there was some work in the early 2000s, early aughts, and you know, liberty people came to the conclusion all about the same time to 2008 and 2004, maybe five, that, you know, intellectual property is not real property, and let's move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
But this thing with immigration, I think it really hits the core of it, hits close to home for many people. And that's why it's so emotional for people. It is for me. I'm not excluding myself from that.
Well, you know,
I am originally an immigrant. I wasn't born in Mexico. I was born in Venezuela, and I immigrated to Mexico. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I hear some of these fallacies spouted out, sometimes I do get mad. Mm-hmm.
What was your difficulty level in immigrating from Venezuela to Mexico?
Well, it wasn't that hard. Were a kid?
Yeah.
No. I was 17 at the time. It was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So it was rather easy because I already had family here, but it took me 7 years, nevertheless, to, you know, from the point when I first came here to study, up to the point where I felt secure and that I wouldn't be denied renewal. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm an immigrant. They call it here an immigrated person. You already immigrated. You don't have to pay any annual fee. You don't have to pay any how do you call it, ransom? But yeah.
Yeah, right.
You don't have to pay them year after year, and you're secure. Eventually, I became a citizen here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that the whole process took 15 years. So it wasn't easy, even though my mother was already living here, married to a Mexican national, and been working here for, 15 years. Before, so I wouldn't call that easy.
No, yeah, definitely not. That, well, you know, just time, lengthy, really, you know, just a really long time. 7 years can be a really long time if what you're seeking is, you know, citizenship of another country, you know, and
well,
so, you know, I mean, immigration laws are stupid no matter where they are. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. Yeah, and it's like they should. There's no reason why they should be like that or be so inefficient.
You know, it's funny.
Some of the more backward countries are very close to immigration from the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Burma, like
North Korea.
Yeah, Burma.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. So I mean,
Cuba even.
You know, it's funny too,
Ben. You were saying.
Yeah, if HAPA's standard of immigration were implemented in the U.S. at the time that Mises fled Austria, he never would have been able to get to the United States.
Anti-worms to that.
We'll be right back, folks. Stick with us.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
So we were picking on HAPA. You know, I said right before the break that in case the music washed it out, that if HAPA's standard of immigration would have been implemented specifically in Switzerland and in France and I believe Italy, I can't remember the exact path that Mises took when he fled Austria, but he essentially went across Europe, got to Spain, and I can't remember if he left Spain or Portugal. It seems to me he left Portugal for the U.S., but I could be wrong. It could have been Spain. But either way, had HAPA's standard of immigration been implemented across all those countries and across the U.S., then Mises would not have been allowed to leave Austria. The Germans would have caught Mises in Austria, and they, in all likelihood, would have killed him. So, you know, that's the end result of HAPA's theories of immigration taken and put into other circumstances. And how exactly would HAPA's standard of immigration have applied to HAPA, who happens to be an immigrant?
Yeah, an immigrant from Germany.
Yeah.
But it seems like he talks about, though, and I mean, I've only just read the articles recently and, you know, haven't completely absorbed what they were saying, but it seems that he favors immigration as long as the people that are immigrating into the country have something to contribute.
Yeah, but that's an arbitrary thing. Like, I've worked
Yeah, that's in, true. Yeah.
When I was a teenager, I was in California in the San Joaquin Valley, and like one mm-hmm. summer I worked at tomato harvest. And if first off, if you have never worked a job where you thought every day was the end of your life, if you've never worked a job like that and you want to experience to see what it's like, go to California in August and work the tomato harvest in the San Joaquin Valley. You are out in the sun for as long as there is sun. There's no 8-hour day. Mm-hmm. You're out there from the time you can see in the morning until the sun until it gets too dark to see at night. And there's this mad rush to get these tomatoes harvested as quickly as possible before the critters eat them and before the sun kills them. And you're out there in that sun, in the California sun, harvesting tomatoes as fast as you can. And I have worked that job where I was...
For how many hours a day?
Oh, at 12 at least, you know. And then,
okay, and then... And for how long, though?
It's a good hard month. The actual harvest season is longer. But
I bet I could lose 30 pounds doing that. Oh,
a day.
Mostly water, though.
Yeah.
And make money. Hey.
But I can say, you know, I was in high school at the time, and mm-hmm. I'd look across the field, and I was literally the only white face in the entire field. And that included mm-hmm. the truck drivers, the supervisors, everybody. None of my mm-hmm. other high school friends would have ever gone out to the tomato fields and worked like that. They'll go get a job in McDonald's maybe, but they're not going to mm-hmm. go out in the tomato fields the same way with the asparagus harvest or with the lettuce harvest. They're not going to do it. So what Hoppe is failing to realize in this is that there are jobs. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. They right. fill those jobs. Anybody who's mm-hmm. done very much roofing knows yeah. that, first off, as a roofing contractor, it's very difficult to hire reliable Americans from the United States that will come out on a roof in the middle of the summer mm-hmm. and do the kind of work that you need to do to get a roofing job done. But you can hire mostly illegal immigrants to do that job, and they will show up every single day, mm-hmm. and they will stay on the job.
I see it around here.
Yeah.
I definitely see it around here, definitely. And yard so, work, everything.
And so Hoppe's idea that first off, that these people are not wanted is wrong. The second, that they're mm-hmm. taking other people's jobs, that's wrong. Third, that they're coming into America so that they can draw welfare is wrong. Mm-hmm. That they're taking other people's housing is wrong. You know, everything that they do from an economics point of view, and Hoppe even admits this at one point in his article, everything they do from an economics point of view is adding to the economy, not taking away from it. And they are
right.
invited
yeah,
in.
Yeah, that's kind of contradictory, isn't it?
Yeah. The fact that yeah. somebody will hire them means they're invited. The fact that someone right. will rent them yeah. an apartment means they're mm-hmm. invited. So his whole argument, I think, you know, I have to assume it's either based on, you know, back in the day, Rothbard and some of the others speculated that maybe libertarians should reach out to the far right wing, the so-called, what were they called, paleoconservatives?
The Tea Party, or the Tea Party Patriots, or I don't know. Is that different?
It wasn't there yet, but there were the old right,
yeah.
which Rothbard was at one point
oh, yeah.
very sympathetic
to. He actually
to,
was, and I know that just from reading a book I just read by him. Kind of yeah, interesting. I did not realize that.
Well,
he wants us to be right wing.
The commercial's on us again. Boy, that was fast.
Yeah.
Stick with us. We'll slip away to the market for a moment.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yow. 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 Beans.
So we had a lot of fun during the break. Too bad that wasn't on the air.
I love Ugo's meows. Meow, 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 meow.
I'm a grumpy cat.
So Hugo, during the break, what were you saying about comparing his position to Marx? And...
Yeah, not really to Marx, but to Marxist academics, and that's one of the criticisms against Marxist academics and the way, you know, Marxism and socialist revolution has never come from the workers. It's always come from academics and the sons of wealthy industrialists and, mm-hmm. or people who were at some point, including Marx himself, subsidized by friends and family.
Right.
In the case of Marx, it was Engels, who had a textile factory. So these academics were very, very sympathetic to the theory, Marxist theory, that work should be joyous and that alienating work is wrong, and that people should be philosophers during the day and cotton pickers during the evening. So that's they've been criticized. You know, it's very easy to take that view of work if you've never worked a field. You know, and I'm a bad Mexican. I've never worked a field, but. But nevertheless, it's very easy to say, you know, they're not needed here. Those workers aren't needed here when you're in a world of academics. And this is probably a personal take or a personal shot at academics, libertarian academics like Hoppe. But it's true. You know, you cannot centrally plan the economy, even though you might be the greatest economist that ever lived.
Right.
And that's you know, he fails in the same degree as an academic failing to consider that there are workers whose work he doesn't understand.
Right.
Simply
right.
that.
He just doesn't have like I was saying, he doesn't have perspective.
Maybe he should read iPencil.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Yeah. Oh my god. I didn't read it. I actually saw a video made based on iPencil, and a Christian, my boyfriend, who kind of more or less started. I mean, I was already on the path to libertarianism / anarchism, whatever you want to call it, but I wasn't focused. I wasn't sure. I didn't, you know, I hadn't really read anything. I had heard of Rothbard, but had never really read, you know, any of, you know, the greats, I guess you could say, of libertarianism. And Christian introduced me to these guys and this video, iPencil. And I was just like, you know, it just is so simple and so clear.
Yeah.
Why doesn't everybody get this?
You know, I think that's one of the problems with Hoppe's argument, too. In order for him to make the argument that immigration should be limited and controlled and that we can't have open borders, for him to make that argument, he has to really stretch logic and really go to a lot of effort, and he plays with the meaning of words, and he really distorts the conversation in a very confusing way in order to do that. And typically, you know, if I'm talking to a salesman and he starts going into a lot of really complicated language and really, you know, stretching his mm-hmm. his viewpoint and everything, I usually think I'm being conned. Something's not right.
He's trying to use words to like mix you up and everything.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's what it seems like.
Like Amadeus, too many notes, too many words.
But that's what it seems like Hoppe is doing. It seems like he is intentionally making it as confusing as possible so that he can leave himself an out if somebody ever pins mm-hmm. him down, and mm-hmm. so that anybody just kind of glossing over it, looking for an excuse to hate immigrants, can mm-hmm. find it in there, but nobody can really then, you know, come back and say, oh, look, Hoppe, your whole plan requires there to be a state. I thought you're against the state. But,
I
mean, really, there it is. It's right there in
there. I realize that probably a lot of what he's doing is looking at the reality of the way things are right now, and since we don't have any other system in place, that, you know, may as well just abide by the existing system, kind of thing. I mean, that is sort of what came across to me, and I don't know if you guys got that too.
True.
But yeah.
Yeah, but he would be pulling a Milton Friedman with that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're not supposed to be enabling the initiation of force against innocent people based on some kind of libertarian-ish argument. We're supposed to be ending it.
Right.
And that's just, you know, if we could get the state to just work a little bit more the way it should work in a free market or in a free society, which is purely speculation on his part, then, you know, we shouldn't be doing that. That's pulling a Milton Friedman with that.
I agree.
I'd like to go into one of his arguments. He's saying the classical, you know, idea with that Rothbard put forth in Ethics of Liberty is that you've talked about this many times, Ben, before, and that the property that the state has stolen belongs to nobody, and that the first occupant is entitled to make use of it. But he changes that theory, and he never refutes Rothbard.
Right.
But nevertheless,
he doesn't mention Rothbard, though.
No, he doesn't. Of course he doesn't. He knows he's going against all that's currently accepted as true.
Yeah.
And he goes into that and he says, you know, these streets, these roads and public spaces, they're not unowned. They belong to us, the victims of this state.
He kind of goes back and forth between them belonging to us and them belonging to the state. He kind of goes back and forth between that, too.
Yeah, and he has to, of course, yes, because he's building a very weak case there.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, he says, you know, we're entitled to better treatment regarding this public infrastructure than people who just got here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of the things that's wrong with that, besides the fact that that's stolen property, is that, you know, who decides? Who gets to decide?
Yeah,
and he's outright saying the state should.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in reality, it ultimately, at least right now, it is whoever has the biggest guns is who gets to decide.
Yeah, sure. So, sure. Yeah. And
But that doesn't make it right, of course.
Of course, yeah. We're all supposing to be abiding by the non-aggression principle. Of course, if you are describing the reality, we'd just have to take out the legal code and just point out what the laws are. But that's not what he's doing. He's making a theory of what's right and what's according to the first principles, to the NAP, non-aggression principle. We should probably explain a bit, but yeah.
Yeah,
every time we say NMP, we should. Yeah,
you mentioned
talk about
something.
That.
You talked about. Gosh, I'm sorry. Okay, never mind. Let's go on to the next thing because it slipped my mind. Sorry.
Well, I was going to compare something Hugo touched on there. I was going to compare that. You know, if we believe what Rothbard has already said and what Lysander Spooner has said and many others have said, that the government is essentially a crime gang. They are a robber telling us to stand and deliver. All taxation is theft. They are nothing more than a gang of thieves at large. If we understand all those things to be facts, which if you're a libertarian, you kind of accept that, and more so if you're an anarcho-capitalist. So if the government is nothing but an organized theft ring, they are nothing but the largest, most successful crime gang that's ever existed, then how can we consider them to be a caretaker of our property?
Right.
When they steal the money
from
us, how do we consider them a caretaker of our property?
And he, you know, but he doesn't even, I don't think he doesn't even come at it with that premise at all, that the government is a thief, essentially. I mean, he doesn't really, you know, he kind of like conveniently leaves that out of the argument.
Yeah, he actually, by using his argument, a statist could take his argument and say, see, this is why you have to have the government, because otherwise there would be no caretaker for public land. And that argument is made by statists all the time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like who would build the roads? Who would protect us? You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous. And I know what I was going to say earlier. Ben, you mentioned how the first one there, it was, and mentioned the title of the article, free immigration is forced integration. And the language is so convoluted that it kind of does leave openings. And I believe that the article he wrote with that, the immigration and libertarianism, he utilizes those outs in this particular article, which is actually much easier to read.
Yeah, there's an article that Diana, you gave to us in our notes. I don't have it in front of me now, but it's over at liberty.me. and I'll put it in the show notes today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
The guy basically takes, well, I say guy, I'm not even sure who the author was, but the person.
It was Nico.
Ah, okay.
Nico Metten, yeah.
So the author basically breaks Hoppe's argument into seven segments, and then he goes through mm-hmm. it one at a time and explains it. And does a very good job. There's a few typos in the article that make it a little chunky to read. But
yeah.
But if you can get past the typos,
they need a good editor. I'll volunteer to be an editor.
Yeah. But if you can get past those typos,
if anyone's
it's a
listening,
really good article.
Yeah.
You hear that,
yeah,
Jeffrey?
Yeah, it's a very good article. Yeah, I just hate it when I find, and I know it's nitpicky, but it's just something about typos in an article that is supposed to get a point across that it just, I don't know. Yeah, it bothers me too. You're supposed to be smart.
Well, and it is. It is a very smart article.
It is a very smart article.
It's just that when you hit those typos, it kind of makes your brain go into a knot for a second.
Like, Yeah. Yeah, I do like how he goes through each article systematically, and or not each article, but
each point.
Actually, he does go through each article that we just talked about, and because the free immigration is forced integration has seven parts, and he does go through each of those parts, and you know talks about his issues with it, and you know, I mean, the, you know, there are things that you can kind of you can agree on to a point, but still giving any kind of legitimacy to the state that just And that's essentially what he does. I mean, it's like, so, you know, even though we pay taxes, just the fact that we pay taxes does not give the state, which when I say pay taxes, I mean, because we have our money stolen from us by the state, that completely erases any legitimacy that the state would have, period. Just like you said, Ben. So.
Yes, and well, you know, he wouldn't normally say that we pay taxes. That he would say that they're extracted from us, which is very different. Mm-hmm. We cannot just go ahead and make this huge.
I voluntarily pay them so I don't end up in jail. Put it that way. So.
Well, yeah. You know, I submit to rape so I don't get killed. You know, so I was making love. I was just making
That's
love.
That's a good one. I like that one. I'm going to use that.
I should let the guy be my caretaker.
That was excellent. Love that.
Stick with us, folks. We'll be
S'mores.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends. An invigorating alternative to those other shows. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Now.
Freedom Fiends. Wrapping up the first hour. And there is no third hour. You got to go back over to the Freedom Fiends website and download an old podcast and listen to that for the third hour.
If you want all the hours, that's where you go.
Yeah, you can get the Fiends torrents, and that's just hundreds of hours for you. So we're never running out of hours.
Unlimited Fiends.
All the time.
So I can't help but to think. You know, well, I wanted to throw this out too before the hour ended. You mentioned the forced integration phrase that Hoppe uses, and every time I read that, it just makes my spine wiggle with anger because
right.
it's kind of like Hoppe is saying, you know, I was walking down the street And I saw this person with brown skin across the street, and he came into my field of view, and I was forced to associate with this person.
I really, really hate how he words some of the stuff. It makes me question a little bit where he stands on certain things.
Dare I have to be in a movie
we won't go there
with one of them?
Yeah, and the whole, like, he talks about inferior versus superior, you know, superior being, you know, the wage earners and the inferior being the parasites kind of thing. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's like, I mean, obviously, I think people should pay their way. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch. You know, come on. But still, you know, I mean, that terminology just kind of bothered me a little bit, I must say.
Diana, and you were saying this, and you sent me also on the notes. We have it here, an article by Cato, which Ben did. I'm sorry,
yeah,
Ben.
Yeah, that's okay.
So they you know, Cato, which is libertarian but leaning more right than most libertarian organizations, mm-hmm. and you know, they go through the list of immigrants, including immigrants that have become citizens, refugees and lawful immigrants and temporary mm-hmm. immigrants. Right. And at the end, they say undocumented immigrants, and I'm going to quote this, undocumented immigrants are generally ineligible for the public assistance programs.
Yeah.
So, you know, that I get that all the time, mm-hmm. and it's simply not true.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it makes me mad because, you know, people are coming in and getting benefits. Yeah. What kind of benefits are you talking about?
There's no food stamps.
Yeah,
it's like the other thing that that Ben said, the refutation of Trump's points, or not really his points, but his recycled old neocon talking points about immigration. Reminds me a little bit of that. And it's just like, oh, God, you know, come up with something new already. I mean, even if it's wrong, at least let it be new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just that's true. And I thought of another immigrant, you know, that wouldn't have survived. And that's Ayn Rand.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. She escaped.
Was Russian.
Right. And had to go partially across Europe just to get out. What if the Poles had stopped her? Mm-hmm. What if they had not allowed her into the country, into the U.S. at the time?
Yeah.
On one of the common misconceptions, and I have this in my notes that I definitely wanted to mention, is that immigration is at some kind of record high in America. And the fact of the matter is, immigration is not at a record high. Immigration is actually at a sump. It's been going down since about 2000, and it's nowhere near the record highs. The record highs in immigration were in the 1920s and before that. And immigration has really not been that big of a numbers. And, you know, and I think, again, you know, here's the thing of it. If you've ever experienced a situation where, like, for instance, if your wife is pregnant, or if you're a female, if you're pregnant, then there's this weird phenomenon that takes place where you look up one day and all of a sudden everybody is pregnant. Everybody, everywhere you look, there's a pregnant woman. And it's kind of like, and every television show has a pregnant woman on it. And this happens. I've got three kids.
And I remember that.
All three kids that happened with. It was like nobody's pregnant, and then all of a sudden my wife's pregnant, and then everybody's pregnant. It's on TV. It's everywhere we go, in our church. Everybody's pregnant. And the same thing happened.
That's
when,
just your perception.
It is. When we first bought our very first RV. I had never really noticed that many RVs on the road until we bought
all
our first
sudden.
RV. And then they're everywhere.
Yeah, the same. I know. The same thing happened to me and Christian when we first started talking about buying an RV. All of a sudden, we're seeing RVs everywhere. It's like, whoa, I had no idea there were so many of these on the road.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's called selective perception is the name for it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Yeah. I was studying for a... antenna theory, and suddenly I realized the amount of antennas that are everywhere.
Stick with us through the hour break, folks. We're going to be right back. More Freedom Fiends.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. By sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Son los Freedom Fiends, transmitiendo desde el cañón iónico de baja órbita del campo de reeducación libertario, en la cima de la plaza financiera bestial, en el satélite artificial Leaper 2017, en la región de Alpha Centauri. And we're back for hour two with Ben and Diana. This show is licensed under a Bipcot No Gov license, which allows use by anyone except for governments. Learn more at bipcot.org.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben. Hey, Diana.
Hey.
Hey, Hugo.
We're back.
We're back.
Still going about immigration and some other topics. Other, you know, uncontroversial topics.
Yeah.
Like cats. No.
Well, that's what we were talking about.
This show is always about cats.
Yeah, we were talking about my cat and her roaming ways now that I'm not quite so paranoid about, because she seems to just kind of hang around right around my apartment. So she slipped out during the first part of the show, and I barely batted an eye when that happened. I was more concerned about my dog eating my glasses or my watch.
You know, we have a phrase in the Fiends that's cats must flow.
The cat,
yeah. And I guess that would be true for people too.
Yeah. You know, that's right. Yeah. And, you know, immigration, actually migration, is a part of every
Yeah, immigration is a status term.
Yeah, it really is. Humans, every single human is the descendant of an immigrant, of a person who migrated. Nobody came from, you know, generation after generation from the same spot. If so, we'd all be standing on one spot in Africa on each other's shoulders for like 10 miles high.
Right.
You know, moving around is what people do. And one of the aspects of libertarianism, I think, is that its foundation is set on, you know, what is the natural way for humans to interact with one another. We naturally interact peaceably through voluntary exchange, through trade, through you know, through voluntary means. This is the natural way humans interact with one another.
Right. And I'll add to that, and I know this is a controversial term, but we also discriminate.
We do.
We decide who we want to voluntarily interact with.
Yeah. And as libertarians, we will defend someone's right to be, you know, bigoted or to be a racist or to be – we'll defend their right to not do business with somebody that they don't want to do business with for whatever reason. It doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah. I'll probably boycott that business because I disagree with that policy, but, you know, still, it's their right to do so.
And this is what
we all own that gun, right? The gun of discrimination. We all own it, and we all can wield it against each other. Right. So that's what keeps everything peaceful.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's like and you know, and regardless of what your discrimination is based on, I mean, I hope it's not based on anything so superficial as skin color or religious beliefs or what have you. But, you know, I mean, I discriminate against people all the time. You know, it's like I decide if I want that person to be my friend. You know, it's just it's a very natural thing for humans to do. But discrimination has a very negative connotation. when you just throw it out there. Like many other words that originally had a pretty benign meaning.
I think what pollutes this entire conversation, as always, is the existence of government. The state comes in with guns drawn.
That pollutes everything.
It does. They come in with guns
literally
drawn. They're going to arbitrarily draw a line on a map and say, if you're born on that side, you're like this. And if you're born on this side, you're like this. And you can't cross that line unless we give you permission. And if you do cross that line, then we're going to give you a different status than other people. And we're going to treat you differently than other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the government comes in. Then there's an immigration problem. And so then the government comes in to give a solution to the immigration problem. And the solution that the government always offers is more violence. You know, they're going to force mm-hmm. people to accept, they're going to force people to bake a cake for somebody, whether they
yeah,
want to
exactly.
or not.
I was going to say that.
And that's always the government's answer, is mm-hmm. more aggression. And, you know, one of the people
right.
who was pretty upset at me the last time that I brought up immigration on The Fiends, one of the people said, yeah, but in Norway, they're making people rent their houses to immigrants. Well, that's the government trying to solve a problem that the government created by bringing in more government problems.
That would be forced integration right there.
Yeah. But
basically. Yeah.
But that's the government doing it. That's not the
yeah,
market
exactly.
doing that. The market is not
yeah.
creating, you know, that situation. Markets solve problems. Governments create problems. And to go back to the government and expect the government to be the solution. And that's the thing with Hoppe's entire argument. If you could push, you know, Murray Rothbard talked about pushing a button and just making the government go away just by pushing a button. If that were possible, mm-hmm. he said he would bruise his thumb pushing that button. Well, in Hoppe's argument, if you believe Hoppe's argument for immigration, Hoppe would reinvent the state even if it didn't exist. He would need to have it to re-implement his
To enforce immigration policy.
To keep out the undesirables.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it at the end of it.
Yeah.
Right.
It really is.
You know,
no matter who invites them here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You know, and what I think what Hans Hoppe is doing in attributing the guilt of whatever violence is being he's been subject to is that I would call that slave on slave violence.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
saying, you know, we're a bunch of slaves here, we're being oppressed.
Right.
And
yeah.
Some slaves from far away are being used as the excuse for our oppression. So I'm going to blame them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's that goes against all libertarian thought, all anarchist thought, even. I don't know. I think that would be a personal conclusion of his yeah. own, but
yeah, Hoppe. Yeah. I think Hoppe would probably refer to that line of reasoning as left libertarianism.
Well, that's another thing that he does. He creates a straw man, and he
really does. Yeah,
he throws everybody who disagrees with him, and suddenly becomes a left libertarian. Which now he's doing uh-huh. name calling on top of creating a straw man. And you know, I hate to jump back and beat up Walter Block but I'm going to do it. when my daughter and I used to do our podcast together all the time, we kind of had a running joke.
I love Kai.
Yeah, she's here visiting, by the way. But we had this running joke, and it was like every time that we want to beat up somebody, we should have a doll of Walter Block, literally a Walter Block straw man, so that we can bring out the Walter Block and beat him up. You know, because his arguments on voting are so pathetic and so shallow.
No.
So
he talked about that recently on the Scott Horton show too.
He did. So
yeah, I talked about voting. Yeah.
Kai and I used to joke around about that. Well, it's time to wheel out the Walter Block doll and beat up the Walter Block straw man. But that's, I mean, you have these really brilliant guys, Walter Block and Hans Hermann Hoppe. And then they make these contrived, horrible arguments that they go around in circles to try to come up with a way to justify it is the thing that they already want to believe. And then they want to try to convince other people of it. It's really sad. I think with Walter Block and his voting thing, I think it boils down to his love of the great man. He has to have a great man. And he, you know, and that's his, if it's not Ron Paul, then it's going to be Ron Paul's son or whoever.
Yeah.
And he's gonna he feels the need to vote for that person, because if he doesn't, then he feels like he's not doing anything. But then again, the whole idea of voting is expressing
is based faith. On a lie.
It really is. Like, you know, like, oh, your vote's going to count? Really? You believe your vote's going to count? Come on.
The whole premise negates that logic.
Yeah. I mean, he's an economist. He should be able to do the math. Your vote doesn't count, Walter. I'm sorry, Walter. Your vote doesn't count. Go ahead, Hugo. I keep walking on you.
Yeah. I remember he got whipped by some anarchists in some podcast a couple of years ago. And they were saying the same thing we're saying about Hans Hoppe. He should have known better.
Right.
I'm pretty sure he knows better. And that's the whole point. He's smarter than me. He's smarter than, I don't know, Ben said he's smarter than Ben. Yeah. I don't know about Diana. But probably Diana's smarter than Hoppe. But then
to say that they should know better, that they do know better, then they must think we're idiots, which that makes me not like them very much.
Yeah, they're alienating their own audience, because, you know, not everyone reads those libertarian papers. Mm-hmm. So don't make us mad against you. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like I mentioned earlier, speaking of lines of reasoning that I'm kind of going, what? Like, I had no idea. And I mean, this is just my ignorance over not having been a libertarian for many years, I prefer to say ANCAP for many years, that, you know, reading Rothbard and getting to know Rothbard a little bit. And I just read something that was actually never published. The actual title escapes me, but it's on the Mises.org website with the preface by David Gordon. And it's about science and technology and the state, or science, technology, and economy, or something. I don't remember the exact title, but reading it, he talks about how the Republican Party should fix all these things and blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, okay, so this must have been his old conservative days or whatever. So I don't know.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, anyway, so people can evolve and change.
I have a theory.
I used to be a total freaking statist. I mean, I really was. You know, even though my heart told me that there was something not right about it, I still didn't know what else to do, and was probably too busy or lazy or whatever to do anything about it, or I didn't want to know the truth or something. You know, but it's like once you know the truth, it's hard to unknow it.
Sometimes I cry about the way all that wasted time before I became an anarchist. I was 29 years old, mm-hmm. and a full-on statist. So I say, come on.
Yeah, but you know, it's like kids or younger people tend to evolve away from their original beliefs. So I'm kind of glad that, in, you know, toward the, I guess, the middle to latter end of my life, I'm finally seeing the light, as opposed to changing to another less desirable belief system. I don't know. Just my thought.
People do change. I have this theory with Rothbard used to say that every dog gets one bite, and mm-hmm. you can be wrong about one thing, but you cannot be wrong. You know, once you have exhausted that possibility, you must be really careful about not being wrong.
You can't bring that stuff up again.
For Walter Block, that's probably voluntary slavery. He's famous for that, right. But and Hoppe's is this immigration thing. Every dog gets one bite, but you know, you cannot just bite every day. That's not one bite.
Meow.
Meow and worms to that. Yeah,
Hoppe's too big of a dog to have that kind of a bite.
Yeah, Great Danes cannot bite, not even once.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, "You didn't build that"? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Meow, 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 meow.
So Hugo,
yep, yep.
Explain to our radio audience what you were just telling us about your theory of three temptations.
Well, I do have a theory about, when libertarian figures or libertarians in general get older, I think they're tempted three times by probably their audiences, the state, and the academia. And, you know, you can do something, you can do a small thing for liberty if you just abandon those fanatical principles of yours. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing that with Stefan, with Stefan Molyneux. He's becoming more and more, he's making all his arguments more tailored to his audience and trying to make his audience bigger.
And he thinks that's the problem. I think that happens.
Yeah, that's the problem, of course.
Oh, did you see the article that Angela sent from where he was caught? They called him out on what was the Daily UK or something like that as a cult leader. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's known in the UK for that. Brought back. That's true. And they brought back a very old thing that a mother of one of his listeners had. I think this is probably from 2007.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's that old.
So it's that old.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the 7 years or the 8 years of that the child has not seen the mother.
Oh, wow. God.
And they brought it back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They brought it back. It's very old. Actually, he started recommending therapy instead of just saying, just go ahead and defoo your family after this incident, which was very old. It's a. Yeah, and she was. He called her the mother. Some politician. Probably she's probably a public employee. I'm not sure if she's a politician, but that's they called him out on that. But the same way Molyneux or Stefan went full potato with his comments. The same way I think that's what Walter Block has been doing with the voting thing for 8 years now.
Trying to appeal to a broader audience.
Yeah, and if we can only elect this libertarian-ish guy, maybe I can make a change in the the later part of my life. Mm-hmm. And the good ones never go that way. Murray Rothbard only became more radical as he grew older. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't have to go that way. But I think it's the same thing that has been happening with Hoppe. Mm-hmm. He wants, let's make this as libertarian as possible. And I think we can do this by only gathering libertarians or only gathering conservatives and not letting those brown Democratic Party voting people into the country. Mm-hmm. So
it's funny. He actually did talk about how that would actually tend to appeal more to a so-called democracy, because that would be the block that would most likely to keep them in power or to keep certain politicians in power would be the brown people who are sponging off the government.
Hmm.
Yeah, because they will offer, it's sad and it's a little bit funny that people who would flee countries where socialism is fully implemented would vote eventually when they become citizens or would support socialist policies in the U.S. Right. And that's pretty true. An immigrant from Venezuela where there's full-on socialism would probably vote for socialized healthcare.
Yeah. I don't know, not necessarily, because when you look at immigrants from Cuba. From what I mean, this is just more anecdotal than anything, they tend, a lot of the Cubans in Southern Florida tend to be very conservative.
Hmm.
I mean, not all. Maybe the younger people are less conservative maybe than their forebears, but the ones who escaped, who were under Batista and came over, during the revolution, they tend to be a lot more against anything that may reek of socialism. So they tend to vote by and large conservative.
The results in Latin America and some other places where there's socialism are teaching. I call that learning the hard way. When your currency is just worthless, you might come to some conclusions just by the sheer pain of it.
Right.
And you were talking about a thing with this character in The Matrix who,
yeah,
who was tempted too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Cypher. Can you tell me what was he tempted with?
Well, it was like, I mean, this is the thing that reminds that whenever I get any sort of temptation to go, I guess, back to sleep in a way or enter back into the Matrix, which I'm rarely ever. I mean, sometimes if I think too long and hard about the problems, I get a little depressed and I feel a little powerless. And so that is when that thought comes in a little bit, which is like not even remotely possible. But that happened with Cypher because he was basically, what I remember mostly was he was tired of eating oatmeal every day and wanted a nice juicy steak. So didn't want to have to worry about it anymore.
Reagan.
His name was Mr. Reagan.
Yeah, Mr. Reagan.
Yeah. You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Freedom Fiends. So I wanted to throw... Oh, the thing that the music cut off right as we went into the last segment, we were talking about the name of that character in The Matrix, and Hugo pointed out that his name was Reagan, and he had said...
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Mr. Smith and called him Mr. Reagan. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had said, I want to be famous.
He said he wanted to go back to The Matrix.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Like someone like Hugo. An actor.
Yeah.
Someone like an actor.
Someone
and he
important.
Said, of course, Mr. Reagan.
Yeah. A little inside joke from the writers there, probably.
Oh, they have a great. I know. I don't know who all watches Netflix, but the Wachowskis. I just have to throw this out there. Have a great series on Netflix called Sense8. It's very science fictiony. Yeah, it's really good. It's written by the Wachowskis as well as, and I can't think of the writer's name, but wrote for Babylon 5. And again, yeah, it's definitely science fiction, but it's just really, really interesting, and I recommend it. Anybody, you know, libertarians or whoever, you know, it's just cool. I don't know, I like it. So
cool.
There you go. Sense8.
How do you spell that? S-E-N or C-E?
Like it's S-E-N-S-E and the number 8.
Ah, okay. So I want to mention we have a couple links that I'm going to put in today's show notes. One is for the Cato Institute's study that they did on whether or not poor immigrants actually use public benefits at a higher or lower rate than everybody else who is poor. And of course the Cato Institute's study indicated that immigrants actually use less proportionate to public benefits than other poor people do. Also in today's show notes there'll be a link to an article over at FEE, that is titled "Five Charts That Show Trump's Immigration Paper Is Nonsense." Now, the thing about this, it's got
he's just silly.
Yeah, he is the Perot, the Ross Perot of the current generation. But the good thing about this charts is
I liked him better.
Yeah. But one of the things with this charts is that it shows that immigration is actually not this massive crisis that people seem to think it is. You know, it's like what I was referring to, I think it was in the first hour, how when your wife gets pregnant, you suddenly see pregnant people everywhere. Or when we first bought an RV, we started seeing RVs everywhere. And I've known a lot of people who got a motorcycle for the first time. And when they very first get a motorcycle, now I've been riding, I've got over 3/4 of a million miles on motorcycles. So I have a lot of experience with motorcycles. But I've trained people on motorcycles, and I've helped people decide what bike to buy as their first motorcycle and stuff. And I always hear this from them within the first couple of months of a new rider starting to ride. They always say, I never realized how many motorcycles there are out there.
Right.
They start seeing them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because...
And you wave at each other and stuff like that.
Yeah. And that's because you weren't looking before, but now you're looking. And now you're seeing them. And immigration is like that. Immigration is not a massive problem in the United States. It's that websites like the Drudge Report and news agencies like CNN and Fox News, they're hitting you with this every single day. Mm-hmm. Every day on Drudge Report, there's an article about immigration. Constantly.
Because any illegal immigrant could very well be a terrorist.
Yeah, that's the way they want you to think of it. They want to instill fear and distrust and, oh, look at that brown person. He's probably a Muslim. He's probably trying to kill you, you know? And this is the nonsense. And they control your mind like this. And it's just not happening. The actual hard numbers show that immigration is not this giant crisis. What it really is, immigration in the United States is a tool that both the right party, the Republicans, and the left party and the Democrats, they can use to beat up their constituents to get them to come out and vote because they're all in a panic about this topic.
Fear, fear, fear.
Yeah, and it's one
of those... Be afraid, be afraid.
It's one of those hot-button issues that they don't want you to think about. They don't want you to know the facts. Mm-mm. All they want you to do is be all hyped up and panicked about it so you'll come out and vote. And you can talk about immigration, you can talk about abortion, you can talk about, you know, a dozen other topics like this that are contrived, that are fake arguments. That I'm not saying that there's not more than one side on these things. What I'm saying is that the mainstream media works with the politicians to keep you, the listener, all upset on something that you don't even need to worry about.
Right.
And that's how they manipulate you and get you to go out and vote.
And you know, and if you disagree with that, if you think that you're too smart and that can't possibly be true, just look at history. You know, look at the things that have happened throughout history that have been because the government has managed to convince the populace of some sort of danger or whatever. And the violations of rights that have, you know, that have happened because of these things. And just look at history.
Yeah.
You know, don't even think like here and now. Yeah. Okay. So you could be right, but what if you're not? You know, what if the government really is doing this?
Yeah.
You know, just think about it.
There are some, I would extend this a hand to all conservatives who are listening, and because there's this federation, there's so many liberties being lost.
Right.
Let's say, for example, those checkpoints you see videos about all the time. Mm-hmm. Those are about I don't know. I think it's 50 miles from the border.
Yeah.
The only excuse for those is immigration.
Right.
And people get rightfully angry when they're stopped for no reason to see if there's any brown people around because they have no other way of presuming someone is from the country. That's just blatant racism.
Right, but then somehow the government convinces them, well, this is for your safety, so you should be just fine with this. And if you're not doing anything wrong, then you shouldn't be worried.
How pathetic is that?
Yeah.
You know, I want to reemphasize what Hugo just said, because if you are listening to this on the radio and you tend to lean toward the Republican side and you tend to like your gun rights and you tend to like your freedom and you tend to think, you know, as long as the government leaves me alone, we're fine. But the government, you know, the government is out of control. It's too big. It's too powerful. And if you think in those directions, like your typical right wing person thinks, then you need to realize that the only way to have 100% of immigration, the only way for any nation state, for any country, for any government to have 100% control of immigration is to have 100% control of all the people within their borders.
That's right.
That means stopping and identifying you multiple times.
Yep.
Just you're trying to go to the grocery store and come home. You want to go to work and come home. They're going to be stopping you, demanding to see your papers, demanding that you prove your citizenship. You need to be prepared for street stoppages where they stop and search your vehicle to make sure you're not smuggling some person or smuggling some contraband. You need to be prepared to have your business searched and all the records in your business searched to make sure that you've maintained citizenship record on all of your employees. This is the kind of world that comes from that right-wing dream of having all immigrants in control. It means the government can go house to house
in control.
Make sure you don't have some dirty Jew hiding in your attic.
Right.
And that's exactly where this mentality goes to. If you're going to demonize one group of people because you don't like their religion or you don't like the color of their skin or you don't like the way that they pronounce something, their accent or their language use, then you're taking it right towards a situation where you're going to have people hiding in other people's attics to try to stay away from the government. And you're going to have, just like Anne Frank, you're going to have children writing out the stories of their life while hiding from the American police. Mm-hmm. And if that's really what you want, if that's the world you want to live in, then you and I have a very serious confusion as to whether what kind of a world we want to live in. Because I don't want to live in that kind of world. And I will do some really, really nasty things to prevent having that kind of world.
Go bad Quaker.
Worms. I'm speechless.
Amen, brother. Preach it. Preach it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. I absolutely agree because that kind of system is what logically follows from what we have right now.
And I'm pretty sure there's just a couple of people who are okay with that. But that's just a couple of fanatics.
Yeah, I mean.
Most, you know, reasonable people, reasonable conservatives out there are not willing. You know, is it so bad to have a couple of, you know, immigrants here and then working for you or working or serving, doing anything, or just, you know, probably just drinking on the streets? That's cannot possibly be worse than having that police state, which is required, as Ben said, to keep all those people in. And remember, those walls are also meant to keep you in.
That's a great point. Yeah, that's something you hear.
Your property and your money.
Americans, especially right-wing leaning Americans, will often say, well, it's America. If you don't love it, leave it. Well, you know, I can't.
Go to Somalia.
I can't. I can't leave the country. Not, they won't let me.
It's not that easy. Come on.
I can't get permission to leave. I'm one of the people who they will not give permission to leave. So, you know, I would love to. I'd love to be able to go someplace where the government is not oppressive, like my forefathers did when they left Scotland and they tried to get out of the kind of oppression that they were facing there. And they ended up, many of them, going to Ireland. And they, when they faced the oppression there, they came to Appalachia, trying to get away from the oppression that was coming from government. I would love to have an Appalachia somewhere that I can escape to, but they're all gone. They're all taken. The government is there.
Yeah.
I can't get away. And I would love to migrate to some place, but you know what? They don't let me. I can't cross that border. It's now forbidden for me to do that. And if I go through all the hoops and get the little piece of paper that gives me the permission, then they're going to check my tax status, and I still can't cross that border.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you're effectively a prisoner here.
You reminded me of this. I'm a Free State Project participant. I signed the thing for the Free State Project.
Me too.
You know, they're really close to achieving their number of inscriptions or signatures for the Free State Project. But whenever that number is reached, you know, we have 5 years to move. I'll probably try, but you know what? There is an occupation force that will not let me come to New Hampshire.
Yeah, and that's tragic. Why not? If you can work there, you can live there. There are people there that want you there.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I can could find a friend there. I could find a job a job there.
Sure.
And there shouldn't be a reason. And when you say, you know, we have to have reasonable controls. Well, it depends who's doing the reasoning. If it's the government
and the controlling.
And the controlling, yeah. Depends who's doing the reasoning and the controlling. And that's probably going to be the government. So there's no such thing as reasonable controls. Either you're free or you're not.
Stick with us, folks. We're going to be right back after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
You know, sometimes the truth hurts, but
yeah.
But we're saying the truth, even though it hurts sometimes. We're saying it out of love. We mm-hmm. want people to understand that, you know, people all around the world are the same. There's different circumstances, and we right. face different things, but people are the same.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, most people want the same things.
Yeah. Humans respond to stimuli. They do. People
want to be free, and they want to have a life.
Hugo, you in our notes, you added some really good stuff about the non-aggression principle. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, yes, and I think that would be good for some redemption in the third act. And it's the fact that, you know, the non-aggression principle, which is the idea that you cannot rightfully initiate the use of force against innocent people, is meant to be a limit for yourself. You can only talk on national radio or do a website or write a book. You can only do that so much to tell other people to do it. You might try self-defense against people who want to aggress against you. You may want to point out the gun in the room, but mm-hmm. but still, the only person you can really convince, or the only thing you can really change, is yourself.
Right.
So I think probably if you have a job and you're scared, you're afraid that somebody will come in and take it, or, you know, outcompete you, you might want to put your theory or your fears or whatever you're tempted to do against the non-aggression principle. That I think that's what's coming back, coming full circle to Hoppe. I think that's what he didn't do. He said, okay, I want this closed community with where only compatible people live, and I don't want people to come in and ruin it. Okay, yeah, can you do that without beating people up and killing them?
Right.
The answer, if the answer is no, is I don't have a valid theory.
Right.
That's pretty much it. Doesn't matter what I want. Am I initiating the use of force?
Right.
Or am I not?
Yeah.
And in that degree, we're 100% free.
Yeah.
To be right.
I wanted to mention quickly, too, that I recently went to the Midwest Peace and Liberty Festival, which is put on by the Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition, which I love. But that was, you know, a lot of speakers there. You know, it seemed the talk seemed to really gear much more toward, you know, what can we do about ourselves, you know, before we try to, you know, I guess, change the system that we live in. You know, we really do need to look at ourselves, and we really need to practice these principles ourselves before we can really put them in practice as a whole, you know, as a community or society. And I really like that a lot. Adam Kokesh talked a lot about that when he was there. There was also a talk about nonviolent communication. So it was very, very much focused on the individual and what is your sphere of influence and what can you reasonably control. And the only thing I can really control is me, you know, and to some degree I can influence others, but ultimately it comes down to me.
Yeah, it's like Jesus, you know, said, take the plank out of your own eye before you start trying to take the splinter out of someone else's.
Yeah. And I also think about the Michael Jackson song, Man in the Mirror. It's a good song. It says exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's how
we will achieve liberty. And, you know, if you're thinking of hope and change and you can hope to change yourself, you won't be disappointed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As opposed to some other hope and change.
Right.
And if Hoppe doesn't want an immigrant working on his roof, then HAPAA shouldn't hire an immigrant to work on Europe. And if
exactly.
And if he doesn't want an immigrant cooking his food, then he shouldn't go where an immigrant is going to be cooking food. And if he doesn't want mm-hmm. them, you know, mowing his lawn, then he shouldn't have them mowing his lawn. But you know what? He cannot rightfully tell me that I cannot hire a person just
right.
because that person was born across the magic line that some politician drew on a map.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's some
excellent.
Ooh, worms today.
Yeah. Worms. Wormy hey. Worms.
It's a good World show today.
A great show.
Yeah.
I like it. Having fun.
We'll have to do this again.
Absolutely.
Just wait for the emails.
Yeah.
To come.
This was the Freedom Fiends. We're all about love here.
World.